Isaiah chapter 24, I want to draw your attention to some verses in this chapter. Perhaps we could read verse 1 together. Verse 1, we read, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof." And as you read through the book of Isaiah, you're reading perhaps some of the most difficult pages of Holy Scripture, along with the prophecies of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and also the book of Revelation. Isaiah is probably one of the most difficult books to understand. You're introduced to its author, its namesake, in chapter 1 and verse 1, where he introduces himself as Isaiah. Now, the name Isaiah, it simply means Jehovah is salvation. And I would say to you that whilst there are many intricate details about the book of Isaiah, hard things to understand, yet if you grasp that central thought, Jehovah is salvation, then that will help you understand the main thrust of the book. Throughout this book, Isaiah prophesies the word of God to the children of Judah, and he warned them that if they would continue on in their sin and persist in their sin, that they would eventually be judged for their sin. But he not only preached a message of warning in this book, but he also preached a message of consolation. He comforted those who were still faithful to God and his covenant, that in Jehovah was salvation. If they were faithful, if they would continue to worship him and continue to trust in him, then they would enjoy escape from his wrath. Now, in this book, Isaiah ministered at a very, very transient time. It was a time of religious and political transition. Judah and Jerusalem, they were growing economically. They were growing financially. Her barns were full. Her forests were large. Her fields were ripe. All seemed to be going well externally for the children of Judah. But sadly, this financial growth, it brought spiritual decline in the nation. And instead of looking to God and thanking God for his good hand upon them, Judah, she looked sadly to other gods for her provision. God, through Isaiah, he warned Judah that if she continued on in this way of life, then he would literally come and turn their world upside down. We read these words in verse 1. The Lord maketh the earth empty, it maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. The word earth here in the Hebrew, it refers to land. And God here, I believe, he's not speaking about the whole earth, but rather he's speaking specifically about the land of Judah. And here he was warning them that if they would continue in their idolatry, that he would turn their world, that he would turn their land upside down. He had warned other nations about this in the chapters previous to chapter number 24. In chapters 13 to 23, you read that God seems to pronounce judgment upon judgment on other lands for their idolatry. You read through those chapters, God, he pronounces judgment upon nations such as Babylon, nations such as Syria, Ethiopia, Moab, and so on. And so he's essentially now, and coming to Isaiah chapter 24, he's now honing in on the nation of Judah. And he was essentially saying, look around you. As I have said that I will judge these other nations, so I will also judge you. If you do not turn from your sin, and if you do not repent of your sin and your idolatry, then you would be judged exactly like these other nations. And as well as judging those around you, God will also personally judge you. Just like the children of Judah, don't make the same mistake that they made, and don't think that God will judge others for their sin, but he'll simply pass you by, that he will wink at your sin, that he will turn a blind eye to your sin. Oh, as God, as he told here Judah, essentially, look, I'm going to turn your world upside down. I'm going to turn your lands upside down. As he said also in this chapter, that their lands would reel to and fro like a drunkard, as a drunken man would stagger to and stagger fro. So he was saying, look, I'm going to turn you upside down, just as I've promised these other nations. So I would say to you this evening. Oh, learn the lesson that sadly Judah didn't. God will not just simply wink at your sin. God will not just simply pass you by. Oh, as he has promised, he will judge others with exactly the same standard. He will also judge you. If you're not in Jesus Christ and looking to him for your soul salvation, then God will judge you just as he will judge others. Indeed, in Luke 13, we read in verses 4 and 5, the Lord Jesus is speaking to a group of people here, and he said, "Those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." There was a group listening to the Lord Jesus Christ preach that day, and they said to the Lord Jesus, "Well, there was a group of people, 18 people, and a tower came and a tower collapsed and fell on those people. They must have been great sinners." But the Lord, he turned it and he flipped it on his head, and he turned and he honed in then on them as individuals. And he said, no, don't look at those, but rather except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And as well as being concerned about the salvation of others, be concerned about the salvation of yourself. Oh, don't make the mistake and wonder, is some person beside you, some person behind you saved? But rather be selfish spiritually. Be selfish in the sense that you make sure you're saved yourself. Be concerned about your judgment. Be concerned about your salvation. Be concerned about the fact that if you die in a Christless eternity, that you'll be lost forever. You will go to a place of perdition. Oh, just like the children of Judah, don't make the mistake that they sadly made. As God had pronounced judgment on other nations, they thought they would be okay. But God, he said here, that's not the case. I'm going to turn your world upside down. You're going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Oh, tonight, learn the lessons as God here, and he comes and he pronounces judgment upon Judah. Oh, learn the lessons, Lord, that they sadly didn't learn. And so tonight I want to draw your attention very simply to the judgment of Judah. The judgment of Judah. I want you to notice firstly here the explanation for this judgment. After telling the nations around that through Isaiah that God would punish them, he now zoomed in on Judah. And he spoke to them and he explained to them certain reasons as to why he could justly punish them. I believe there were two reasons here. Notice here their disregard. Disregard. Verse 5 we read, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant." The word for laws here in the Hebrew, it reads Torah. And of course the Torah is the first five books of the Jewish Old Testament. Of course, in those first five books, you have the laws and precepts that Moses set forth. As you read through those laws and those precepts, they were to form the bedrock of Jewish society. Here, the children of Judah, they were said to transgress the law, or to transgress the Torah, or in other words, to transgress the Word of God. And in transgressing the Word of God, they simply disregarded the plain statements and commandments of their Bible. They deliberately disregarded and counted the Bible really as nothing. And the result of this was seen in verse 5. "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof." Again, the word earth here is land, just as it is throughout this chapter. And God, he said, because of your disregard and your shaking off of the Bible, the land's become defiled. It seems that society was about to implode in Judah. It had become polluted because they had disregarded the plain claims of Scripture. And so God, he comes to them and he said, the first reason why I'm going to judge you justly is because you've counted the Word of God as a small thing. Is because you've counted it as a light thing in my eyes. And when you disregard God, You will then be disciplined by God when you set aside his commandments, his precepts and his laws. God must then just and punish you. Oh, every individual on earth in some way, they transgresses, they disregards God's law. And when you disregard the law of God, you become a lawbreaker before God, who is the judge of all the earth. And I want you to see yourself just as God, as he pronounces this judgment, this judgment on Judah. They had counted his law as a small thing. And perhaps you have been doing that for some weeks, some months, even some years. You've been hearing the word of God. You've been hearing Christ exalted. But you've been counting it as a small thing. Shaking it off, maybe brushing it off. Setting the word of God to one side. Indeed, in Hebrews 10, we read in verse 29, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. The word unholy here, in the Greek, it has the idea of common. And Paul, he said, there would be those, and there were those Jews, and they had counted the blood of Christ and the word of God as a common thing, as a small thing. And because they had counted Christ and his word with such disrepute and disregard, we read in that verse of how much sorer punishment. In other words, they would be judged in a greater extent because they had been privileged, and yet they had counted the word and Christ a small thing. And when you treat Christ with disregard, Christ will then treat you extra hard. When you count Christ and his word as a common thing, as an unholy thing, as a small thing, then you will be severely and sorely punished. Oh, tonight, remember that as you sit in this place, you're tremendously privileged. You're not like those who are pagan in this world, who perhaps have never heard the gospel, who don't have the Bible in their own language. Oh, tonight, you're very, very privileged. You hear of Jesus Christ. You hear of his blood that can save you, his blood that can wash you, his blood that can cleanse you. And whenever you turn your back on Christ, you will be punished more sorely. Remember God here in the context, he's speaking to the children of Judah. In Isaiah, he's speaking to his people. And yet they disregarded his word. They counted it as a small thing. And so he said, I have to judge you. I justly have to punish you. Their disregard. Notice another reason or explanation as to why he would judge them. Notice also their distortion. Verse 5 again, we read, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. However, here you read that they had went a step further. They had not only counted the word of God as a small thing, but we read here that they had actually changed the ordinance. The word ordinance here in the Hebrew, it refers to statute. And on Mount Sinai, you'll remember that God gave Moses the law of God, his Ten Commandments, but he also gave them statutes or precepts to obey. Now, we must understand the difference between a commandment and a statute. A commandment is what God commands you to do. A statute is how to apply that commandment in a certain situation. It's where you take the commandment and you apply it to your situation in life that you face. And here the children of Judah, in their declension against God, they had changed the statute, or they had distorted the statute. In other words, they had essentially, when they came to applying the word of God to their own lives and applying the law of God to their own lives, they made it say something that it really didn't say. The statute said, this is how you're to live. This is how you're to apply this law in a certain situation. But they changed it to mean something much easier. They essentially said, well, the law says one thing, but I'll do another. They made the word of God say something it didn't. And in doing this, they tried to give the impression that they were still living by the law, that they still lived uprightly, that they still lived religiously. And all the while they were making the law say something it didn't. In essence, they claimed they were living the life, but really, they were living a sham. And in spiritual matters, whilst you may talk the talk, God also wants you to walk the walk. You're not merely to give the impression that you are a Christian, but you are to be a Christian. God is showing you here this evening by his word that there will be those who will disregard the law of God, and he will judge them for that. But there will also be those who will distort the law. They will change it to mean something that suits their own life, that suits their own circumstances. And those who essentially pretend to be a Christian. Oh, tonight, learn the lesson that Judah, again, they didn't listen. God will judge the pretender. Oh, you can come in and you can give all the pretense, you can give all the sense that you are a Christian, but really live a lie. And God, he is showing you here this evening that he will judge you for pretending to be a Christian. I wonder, are you a Christian this evening? Let's just ask you that simple question. Are you a Christian, or are you merely living a lie? But Paul reminded Timothy of those who had the form of being a Christian. He said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In Greek culture, the word form was here used for an outline or a sketch or a framework. Paul, he used this word form, and he said, Timothy, there are going to be those who just are an outline or a sketch in a Christian sense, but really there'll be nothing inside them. Those who pretend to be a Christian, but really inside there's nothing. Timothy, from such turn aside. And before God, you're not merely to be a framework, nor are you to be the form of a Christian, but you're to have the fullness of the Christian. You are to be a Christian. You are to exhibit the fruits of being a Christian. Oh, God will judge those who pretend. God will judge those who merely give the show of being a Christian. The Bible tells us to examine our own salvation. And I wonder, Lord, would you not just take that time and examine yourself this evening? Am I really a Christian? Because God will judge those who merely just pretend. You know, once the devil was walking along with one of his helpers, and as they were walking along, this helper, he saw a man ahead of them pick up something nice and shiny. The helper went to the devil and said to the devil, well, what did that man pick up? What did he find? The devil said to this man, oh, he found a piece of the truth. His helper said, doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth and he's now lifting it and reading it? The devil said, no, I'll see to it that he makes a religion out of it. You see, you're not merely just to live by a piece of the truth, but you are to be living by the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Oh, God is telling you this evening, don't just be an outline. Don't just be a sketch, but be the real deal. Be a Christian. Be and come to Christ and be saved. The explanation for this judgment, Isaiah here, he explains why God can justly judge these people. But notice secondly here the descriptions of this judgment. Here in this chapter, he explained why he would judge them, but he also described this judgment to them. Two descriptions, I believe, he gave of this judgment. The first one was that it was impartial. Impartial. Verse 2, we read, it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury. Here in this verse, there are different social ranks set before you. And Isaiah here, he was speaking to the children of Judah. He was essentially saying it doesn't matter your rank in society. If you have broken the law of God and you have distorted the ordinance of God, then you would be judged. The people here, the first term people, it simply refers to the common, ordinary people. In comparison and contrast to the priest, The priest in Bible times, he was revered and respected as a highfalutin member of society. And here in this verse, you have really a contrast between those who are at the lower end of the spectrum in society and those who are at the higher end. The servant with his master, the maid with her mistress, the borrower with the lender. They are all set beside each other in juxtaposition to each other. And God, he reminded the people of Judah that it didn't matter what their social ranking would be, whether they would be religiously involved and be a priest or just an ordinary 5-0, or whether they would be a maid or a mistress, whether they would be a borrower or a lender. It didn't matter that if they were distorting the law of God and they were changing it to mean something that it didn't mean, and they weren't living the life, that God would judge them despite their social standing. And in spite of your standing before God, you stand as sentenced. God will judge you and punish you, despite who you are in society. And God here is showing you that whether you be an ordinary, everyday individual, or whether you be high-ranking in society, whether perhaps you've climbed the social ladder, you've reached the top, or you're just halfway, or you're just at the bottom, that if you are disregarding the word of God and distorting the law of God, giving that impression that you are a Christian when you're not, that God, he will sentence you. It doesn't matter your rank, your grade in society. God will sentence you if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ. Indeed, in Lamentations 5, we read in verses 12 and 13, Jeremiah here, as he wrote this book, he spoke again of this coming judgment through Babylon. And he said, as Babylon would walk through the land of Judah, he said in Lamentations 5, 12 and 13, princes are hanged by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind. The children fell under the wood. And God again, or Jeremiah, he said again the similar truth to Isaiah. He said, even princes, even the faces of the elders, they weren't honored. It didn't matter whether it be a young man, a child, a prince, or a priest. God would come and God would judge them as an individual. You see, whilst God's judgment isn't flexible, God will judge the prince as well as the pauper. Now, God, he is just. That's one of his attributes. He is just, and he has his standard, and he must judge according to his standard. Because if he doesn't, then he will not deal with everybody in the same way. And just as it is in our judicial system, where everybody is judged by the same law, and they're judged fairly, so with God it is the same. He will judge everybody by his standard, everybody by his laws. There are no bylaws with the Lord. And it doesn't matter really who you are before the Lord, what you've done in society. God will judge you by his standard. And of course, you have fallen short of that standard. You have broken that standard. And I wonder tonight, are you giving the opinion, or giving the perception that you are a Christian when you're not? Oh, God is showing you that no matter who you are in life or in society, that he will judge you. Governor Herder was running for a second time as governor of Massachusetts. One day he skipped lunch and he thought, well, I'll kill two birds with one stone. He was driving up the street and he saw a church barbecue. He thought he would go and visit some people as well as get a free meal. As he took his plate and moved down the line, he held out his plate to the lady who was serving chicken. She put a piece on his plate and then she turned to the next person in line. The governor, he liked this piece of chicken, he wanted another. And so he asked the lady for another piece of chicken. She said, sorry, I'm only supposed to give one piece of chicken to each person. The governor thought to himself, well, I'm the governor, I'll ask her again. He said, would you not give me another piece of chicken? She said, no. He said, well, I'm starved again. She still said, no. He thought he would then try his hand. He said to the lady, do you know who I am? I'm the governor of the state. Give me a second piece of chicken. And the lady simply responded to her, do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of this chicken. Move along, mister, I don't care who you are. And sometimes we might be tempted to think that because of who we are or what we've done, that we'll be treated differently in Judgment Day. But that is not the case. It does not matter who you are, what you've done in life or in society. We'll all be treated the same. It was impartial. Something else about this judgment, the description of this judgment, it was inescapable. In verse 18 we read, "It shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. He that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, the foundations of the earth do shake." The phrase "noise of fear" in the Hebrew, it's taken from the arena of hunting. It refers to the noise the hunter would make as he would come up to his game and attempt to frighten the game. God, he used this imagery to describe those who flee the sound of his voice when he would come and judge Judah. He said, "As I would come and as I would judge my people, it would be like a hunter shouting his voice." The children of Judah and the individual, as they would hear this voice, they would run. And the Lord then continues on in this hunting imagery. He states in this verse that those who run from the noise of fear, that they shall fall into the pit. And the image here is of that individual that game. They would go and they would fall into a pit that had been dug by the hunter. As they would be in this pit now, they would attempt to get out. And they would, as they're attempting to get out, we read again in this verse, they shall be taken in the snare. And as they would attempt to flee from that pit, the hunter would then come, and just as they're maybe groping and grappling to get out of that pit, he would come and trap them. And they would not escape. And the children of Judah here, and running from the judgment of God, were told that they would not run very far. They would fall into his pit. And they could never, never escape. And whilst the judgment of God is impartial, it's also inescapable. You may try to escape the noise of God's judgment, but you'll only fall into the bottomless pit. Oh, just as that animal, as they would fall into that pit and try to get out and to escape that pit, but then they would be trapped. So make no mistake, you will never escape the torments of hell. Hell, like heaven, is eternal. And you can try and run from God, and even as you fall into hell, you may think that you will grapple your way out of it. But you'll never escape. You'll never escape. When God comes and judges you, it will be inescapable. Indeed, in Amos 5, we read in verse 19, "As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on his wall, and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be?" Here Amos is speaking about the day of the Lord, and that within its context be the day of judgment for Israel. And he said, there will be those in Israel, and there were those in Israel who, as God came and God would come and God would judge them, it would be like they would be running from a lion only to meet a bear. And the thought here again is that they wouldn't escape. Just as they would be running from one thing, they would meet another. God would come and inescapably take them on his great day. You see, whilst you may try to evade the judgment of God, you will never escape his judgment. You will never be able to escape his great day of wrath. And so the lesson to you is, make that necessary preparation. For, like with God, you think you can run, but you can't run, nor can you hide. Oh, tonight, don't make the mistake of the children of Judah. They thought that God would pass them by. But God here, he says, look, you're going to fall into my pit, and you'll never get out. And as soon as maybe perhaps you try to get out, I'm going to trap you. I'm going to take you like a snare. The explanation of this judgment, the description of this judgment. Lastly and quickly, notice the emancipation from this judgment. Verses 13 to 14, We read, thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people. There shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. It seems that there would be a small remnant, and there was a small remnant who would escape this judgment. The phrase shaking of an olive tree or a gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done, it carries with it in your minds the picture of the grape tree or the olive tree just after harvest. Whenever harvest comes, there would perhaps be one or two small pieces of fruit left. And God, he takes this imagery, and he said there would be a small amount left. There would be a small amount who would not escape the judgment of himself. And though it would be small in amount, they as a people would be large in their adoration. Verse 14, we're told, they would sing for the majesty of the Lord. And as they were spared the judgment of God, they would raise up their song in praise and in adoration for his mercy to them. And whilst the day of the Lord will bring anxiety for some, it will bring adoration for others. Those redeemed by Christ's blood, though they may be small in number, like the group who were spared the judgment of God in Judah, they will raise up their song. They will praise God for his wondrous mercy to them. Oh, it shows you this evening, if you're not saved, that God is merciful. That he has provided a way where you can obtain mercy through faith and repentance and trusting in Jesus Christ's work. Oh, tonight, will you be one of those who are emancipated, who are set free from the bondage and judgment of God? You know, Adoniram Judson, he was a missionary to Burma. And on his day of death, he said, I go with gladness of a boy bounding away from school. I feel so strong in Christ. And you remember when you were young and you loved Friday, you loved to hear that last bell. And you know the sense of joy that it brought to you when you're set free from your weekly round in school. And here he takes that thought and he said, oh, I've been set free. I'm bounding away. I'm heading for heaven. You see, he was glad when that day came for him. Oh, learn the lessons that sadly the children of Judah didn't. Don't be like them. Don't be like those who will pretend, or those who did pretend, and those who were taken to the pit, and those who would never escape. Oh, learn the lesson. As God, as he said, he would judge Judah. So he's reminded you tonight that he will judge you. But there is a way of escape through faith in Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to your hearts and souls this evening.